the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Tuesday, May 13th, 2014. This is Sally Baptist speaking. Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of American Freedom Watch Radio with Karen Schoen and John Estabrook. Now, the call-in number is 347-857-4364. Press 1 if you'd like to speak on the air. You must make sure you press 1 to speak on the air. Otherwise, I just let you sit out there and listen, and I don't bother you. So on that note, there is much going on tonight. Well, one other quick thing. People had reported some problems with the chat room. I was just on with the help desk, and we've tested it. The chat room appears to be working right this moment. So if you have any problems with it, make sure you send me an email and just send it to AmericanStatesman@1791.com, AmericanStatesman@1791.com, if you're having a problem with the chat room, or you can call in and tell me on the air, either way. But on that note, Karen, a couple of things I've got to get out there today before we get started on all this other stuff. Just a reminder to everybody, May 16th, 3 days away, Operation American Spring in Washington, D.C. If you can be there, please be there. If you can't, remember there's many other things you can do, such as Operation Flood Congress, which starts on the 15th in 2 days. And that Operation Flood Congress, you are to call, fax, email, mainly calling and faxing, because we want to bring down their switchboard. We want to say we're tired of what you're doing. We can't be there to protest in person for various reasons, but we support Operation American Spring, and we're going to take down your phone system because you're not listening to us. So just those are very important dates. And for those who are not familiar with Operation American Spring, we are talking about the articles of impeachment being put out there. They are demanding removal of certain people from office, such as Eric Holder, such as the president, articles of impeachment, and such as Boehner and McConnell, and also Reid and Pelosi. These people are of no use. They're harmful to our country. So we need to start with them. And Operation American Spring only starts on May 16th. It's not a one-day rally. We're taking back our government. We are the sovereign government. They don't understand this in Washington, D.C. Way too many lawyers up there, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But Operation American Spring, if you're not familiar with it, you need to go check it out online, operationamericanspring.org. Read the articles of impeachment, what's already been delivered. This is a peaceful and constitutional right of the people to take back the government when it has gotten so out of control. Now, the other thing, and this is all based on, if it's a lawyer, they're lawless. I mean, I find it so interesting how many lawyers are totally lawless. Those who study the law seem to like to enforce it the least. And when I talk about this, well, whose name comes up? Marco Rubio. Once again, Rubio's out there bouncing around. I want to be president. Well, I mean, he hasn't come out and said that, but that's what he's doing. He's playing the game, and he's a lawyer. But he doesn't seem to appreciate the Constitution because he's not eligible. And I would hope that most of the American people learned the lesson with electing the current ineligible individual to the presidency. For those who don't understand, Marco Rubio is not a natural-born American. He was born on American soil, which makes him an American, but that is not a natural-born American citizen. He was born to two Cuban parents. His parents were not Americans when he was born. This is why they have natural-born. They have the stipulation for the presidency because they do not want a dual loyalty. The president of the United States should not be loyal to any other country. And the truth of the matter is, Rubio is. He very much supports the Latinos over the Americans. He does it time and time again, and he did it with amnesty. He has his dual loyalty. He is not 100% loyal to the United States of America. he is not eligible to be the presidency. So when you hear Rubio talk about being the president, would you please tell him to go read the Constitution, try to forget that he's a lawyer, and try to think about the rule of law, because lawyers don't seem to understand any of that these days. They seem to be the most lawless out there. And tell him he's not eligible. And you know the GOP wants to be stupid, which they seem to be very good at doing. Then we'll just have to let them know. Let them know we're not going to keep supporting them. Do not give money to the GOP. I got a call from one GOP fundraiser thing today, and I didn't laugh in their face or their ear, but I said, you got to be crazy. I would never give money to the GOP. They are too corrupt, too anti-American, too liberal progressive. They're no different than the Democrats. I will never give another dime to the GOP, and I sure hope those listening out there won't do it either. But those are like the two big rants of the day. Rubio, he supports illegals over Americans. Now he wants to be president again. He's not eligible. And then major date, May 16th, we have got to take back this country. And it's up to us. Not to go back to going back. We're not out there promoting any kind of violence. Operation American Spring is not about violence, Glenn. Even though Glenn refuses to talk about Operation American Spring, I have never heard him say a thing about it yet. Karen, I'm curious as to whether you have. He hasn't said it, but he's out there acting like, well, he doesn't believe in violence. Wait a minute. You're for the Second Amendment. You've got your guns, but you're okay with the Bureau of Land Management blowing the heads off of the other Americans and they're supposed to just sit there. Glenn, you're confused. He's sipping something out there. Better get back on your meds or whatever it is. Because I don't understand Glenn Beck's attitude on these couple of issues. On that note, I ranted a little bit longer than usual. Let me hand it over to Karen. You can do your announcement and get the show kickoff.
Well, thank you so much, Sally, and thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. You're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman. Show name, American Freedom Watch Radio, every Tuesday night from 8 to 10, and on Red State Talk Radio, Wednesday 12 noon and Sunday 12 in the evening, and that is redstatetalkradio.com. Please share the show, listen to our podcast. We have an interesting show today, and I think it will benefit all of us. Sally, I couldn't agree with you more on Marco Rubio, and we'll get to Glenn Beck in a moment. But I want the people in Florida to think about this question. When was the last time Marco Rubio came around the state of Florida? I guess he is ignoring us because he thinks we love him, or maybe he's afraid to come here. I am, like Sally, totally disgusted with the lies that this man did in order to get elected. However, unfortunately, I guess we should be used to that already. But being used to it doesn't mean we have to accept it. And it's time that we start calling the liars exactly who they are and what they are. They're liars. And there isn't any nice way to say it. It isn't a misspeak. It isn't a misinterpretation. A lie by any other name is still a lie. And speaking of liars, I just happened to read a very interesting article that I thought everyone really should know about, and that's about one of my favorite topics, which is the man-made global warming and the fact that fossil fuel is being targeted as a disaster. Folks, I want you to listen to this very, very carefully. The youngest son of U.S. Vice President Joe Biden, his name is Hunter Biden, has been appointed the head of legal affairs at Ukraine's largest gas provider. What are they providing? A pipeline in the Ukraine. What is this pipeline going to do, according to Biden Hunter? He said it will benefit the Ukrainians and their economy. What a surprise.
Oh, you can't there's so many things.
Up, can you?
No, you can't. Well, when you're finished on that one, let me know. We do have a caller who has a question and wants to join in here.
Okay, well, let's take the question before I move on to my next favorite topic, Sally.
Okay, the last four digits are 5765. Caller, you're on the air. Caller?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Can we get your name, please?
Well, this is John Estabrooks.
Well, John, I wonder why I didn't recognize you.
I got a lot of questions.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, John. You're going to have to share your trip with us, but you came in at the right spot.
Yeah, sure enough, especially when we're going to talk about fossil fuels, huh? And it's great to see our president is still attacking the fossil fuel industry, still carrying on the global warming conversation. I'm really shocked that you ladies haven't taken the time this evening to talk about Beyonce and the issue in the elevator, because that's all that the press is covering today. What is up with that, huh? With everything going on in our nation, our media is more worried about what's happening to poor Jay-Z in an elevator, huh?
I know. Is that pathetic or what? That is so sad. And you know what else they are
good
not conversation, talking about?
No, the Biden story is something,
yes.
You know, if you want to talk total corruption, and I guess that our nation has become so numb to the fact that we've got these corrupt people in bed with foreign government for their own benefit. I mean, this kid, Hunter Biden, I don't even think, is he illegal? Because, is he an attorney? I don't know whether he's qualified. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, he's using his...
Doesn't matter if he's in Florida. If he's in illegal, we'll give him the law license.
There you go. Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what. I got to see a great contrast. My first leg of my journey was in Singapore. And Singapore is actually a very capitalist society. It has a free market society. And it's extremely profitable. I think they have 2.8% unemployment.
Could you say that again, John, please?
2.8% unemployment.
Singapore, I couldn't quite hear you.
2.8%, and it's a capitalist society. But it's kind of ironic, you know. They don't have any social justice system in Singapore. You either work or you don't eat.
They must be racist then.
Well, you know, I really don't think that they give two hoots about what the United Nations or what the U.S. or, you know, I do know that they hold us accountable for the upset that they had in their economy because of our effect on the global economy when we let bankers after us all, you know, and that leads from a capitalist society that's, I think 1 in 16 residents in Singapore is a millionaire because they do have a capitalist free market system. I was kind of one of the biggest, nicest, newest structures that was recently built is a casino, and it's the Sands Casino, a $6 billion venture. And guess what nationality the man that built this marvelous, I mean, it is one great piece of architecture. Modern architect. He's an American. Why would he choose to invest his $6 billion in Singapore versus the U.S.? And it's because he couldn't get the permits and the things that he needed and was required in the U.S. He had to deal with union laborers in the U.S. So versus going through all of that, he gave the government of Singapore, $1 billion so that he could build a $6 billion hotel casino structure. Now, that says a lot about who we are in this nation and what we're allowing. Huh? We've driven profitable businesses out of this country.
Well, John, while you were away, we discovered that private businesses have decreased more in the last 5 years than ever before. They are down by 30%. But the good news is our unemployment rate is now 6.3%. But, of course, they forgot to tell us that over 30% of the people who have left the workforce are not counted. And if we went by the true unemployment numbers, unemployment in America would be about 21%.
Yeah, it's an extreme number. And they don't, that's been always one of the things that's been misrepresented in the media. And because the media is very aware and has access through the Freedom of Information Act to be able to get the numbers and the true accounting of who is leaving the unemployment rolls every month. Because there are people, once they are dropped from unemployment, they no longer receive it, their 105 weeks or whatever the exorbitant number is, once that time frame is up, they're taken off the rolls. Or they're underemployed. They don't speak about those numbers. And they know those numbers exist, but they don't reveal it to the American public because they don't want us to recognize just how bad and how dire and slow this economy is. It's not growing. And we have a business mindset in America that is out to destroy business. I mean, they don't make anything easy. Everything is cumbersome. It's a huge burden to be able to get permits to even go into business. It's a shame that our capitalist society has become so socialized, and that's exactly, I mean, we've got a Marxist in the White House, so, I mean, and his underlings follow his direction, and they make it so cumbersome and such a burden for small business. The tax rate is exorbitant here versus what you see in Singapore. But when I left Singapore, I rode the ship across the Indian Ocean, and it's a huge, vast ocean. Huh? And if a plane went down in there, folks, I don't think we'll ever find it. But when we get to Cape Town, South Africa, Cape Town is a beautiful, picturesque city. It has a lot of old structures, 16th century, 17th century, 18th century structures, architecture that's just phenomenal. And when you're in the city center, you can walk the streets. You don't want to walk the streets at night because there's abject poverty. You can't make a block to where you don't have people that are begging, and they're literally begging you for enough funds to be able to get a meal. Their exchange rate is 1,000 rand per $100 U.S. So you're overwhelmed by the amount of poverty and the poor people. And they have 1 in 5 residents of Cape Town has HIV. They have a huge drug problem. With both heroin, methamphetamines, and marijuana is readily available because it's a source of income. The cartels are working well inside of South Africa. Durban, South Africa, that is their province, and they're totally reliant on the marijuana trade for their existence. But when you leave the city center, and they've got some beautiful hotels and a lot of great history Desmond Tutu, Mr. Mandela is displayed on every corner, and they're very proud of Nelson Mandela. But what we fail to always give credit to Mr. Mandela is that they ran a European South African people out of power, and when apartheid and everything took place, socialism took root, and they have a socialist government, to where everyone contributes, and what you don't contribute, you don't eat. And when you leave the city center, this beautiful city center that they've got, and you drive 20 minutes to the airport, you start to pass total abject poverty that I've never witnessed in my life. It's shameful. People living in cardboard boxes, with pieces of plywood, whatever wood, or they can find plastic. They're living in little structures, one after another, for miles. And it's like they're quartered off in blocks and rows that go on for a couple of miles. You do see Red Cross tents there, so I know the Red Cross is there attempting to feed these people and take care of them. But their government does not let you see that until you're leaving, huh? Or you're coming in, and then you go past it, and then you're in into the beautiful city center where they would have you believe that things were functioning and are good, but there's corruption. That's you know, the taxation on a hotel room and all the VI, they've got a VI, a VAT tax. So you as a tourist, if you've been to these countries that have a VAT tax and have all this taxation taking place, you know, you get a room for $300 a night, but then after you get through with that, then you've got another couple hundred dollars added on to it just for taxation. So it's not advantageous to be a tourist in South Africa. But it was a great value to be able to go and see the contrast from a free market economy in Singapore and how well that country is doing versus going into Cape Town, South Africa, and witnessing total abject poverty. It's pretty astounding. And it's also another case where socialism does not work.
Unfortunately, John, I think that's where we're headed here. And as I drove around down in South Florida and went into some of the cities there, I could not believe people living in tents and cars. And we have a whole forest in Ocala that is filled with our veterans. And,
shame on us.
How much money are we giving to the United Nations to eradicate poverty? And how long have we been doing that? Folks, in case you haven't figured it out, the programs don't work. They can't work. Just like what John said, you got to do a you produce, you get. You produce, you get. Once people understand that, you know what? They're happy to produce because they realize that when they produce more, they get more. And,
yeah.
And that's what capitalism enables people to do, which is why progressives and the communists are so afraid of it, because they are afraid that if John and Karen produced a lot, we'd get a lot, and that would bite into what they have, and that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
It's
well, well, you know, right now, I'll tell you one of the contrasts, Karen. You watch what is taking place with Russia and Vladimir Putin and what's going on in the Ukraine. And it's absolutely astounding to me that the great communist bear is the only thing that's holding up these globalists. Because actually Putin is deterring the globalist plan. He is slowing the ideology. You know, he doesn't agree with the ideology, and that's not being spoken about. That's not being looked at. Why is Putin so interested in the Ukraine? Well, he has a vision of establishing the Soviet, huh? Regardless of whether it functioned or not, he's not going to let these global cons take over the oil and gas flow through the Ukraine. And, you know, there's a reason Biden's son is there. Huh? And there's a reason that we have great interest in anywhere where the United States has put boots on the ground, there has always been a barrel of oil. And
oh,
these
yeah.
same people that deny, you know, they speak of the evil that is fossil fuels, but yet American soldiers have always been put in harm's way in our last few ventures. It's always been to protect the flow of oil. So, you know, there's a double standard. They know that when they socially set the price of oil at $80 to $100 a barrel, that they can fund this redistribution of wealth from American, from the, I guess, the overdeveloped nations. Europe is coming apart at the seams, huh? And no one is really speaking a lot about that. You don't see what is taking place with the Muslims in Europe, all across Europe, and the effect that they're having in taking over entire European cities. That's not spoken of. You know, we have a media that is dumbing down and you know, like today's news stories. Who cares what happens to Jay-Z and Beyonce in an elevator with a drunk sister-in-law? You know, I mean, how ludicrous that's the lead story on every media outlet. Shame on the media. Everything that's taking place, they are, I guess they're probably one of the number one providers of the propaganda machine. They are the propaganda machine that these globalists are funding.
And they are the enablers.
Yeah, sure.
They are the enablers. They are allowing it to happen.
Sure. Sally was talking about contributing to the GOP. She's spot on. Shouldn't give a nick to any candidate that's the GOP establishment candidate, because I think in every senator's race that I've looked at across the country, we have enough conservatives, and many of them are running as Tea Party candidates under the GOP umbrella, but they're not the hand-selected establishment candidates. You know, I mean, the GOP is siding against the Tea Party, and thank God for the Tea Party movement, because we do have an opportunity to make some headway, and that headway can only take place if we elect these Tea Party conservatives. If we don't put conservatives back in charge and in power in this country, we're going to spend ourselves into oblivion. And that's not talked about in the media. How much money did the Fed pour into the government last month?
$80 billion.
Well, it's about $45 billion now, because they took it from 80. They ran $80 billion for I want to say 19 months, and then they cut it back and went to $55 billion, and now they've cut it back to $45 billion. But now when average Joe sets around and he looks at the stock market and he sees the stock market and all the records that are being set in the tech stocks and all this, you know, on both, every market is flourishing. Well, it's flourishing falsely, because we've got a Federal Reserve pumping $85 billion, you know, at one, you know, 19 months of $80 billion. Then you're pumping $55 billion and now $45 billion, but they're continuing to pump money into this U.S. economy. And guess where the money's going? It's not reaching down to John and Karen. I'm not making a nickel more than I was making 8 years ago. Not one nickel more. In fact, I'm actually losing ground because of inflation and taxation. So, and I'm not any different than every American, huh?
What inflation, John? There's no inflation.
Yes, there is.
Don't you read the paper? Don't you watch? Don't you listen to what does Mark Levin call it, MSLSD?
Well, it's very well disguised, except to the people that are relying on the government to eat. And that's where you want to see, you know, the government always or the Democrats and the ideology of the establishment Republicans would have you believe they care about the poor people of the United States. And the fact is that the poor are getting poorer every single day. They're not gaining any ground. The middle-class working Americans are not gaining any ground. We are losing ground every single day, every day. And it's because of the actions of the Federal Reserve. It's because of the actions of the bankers. The bankers are making huge profits, and they're having money pumped into every bank across this nation is having money falsely pumped into its system. All right, so then it's devaluing the dollar. And people around the world, I was a bellman standing out in front of the Hilton in Cape Town, South Africa, asked me, guy, you know, I was waiting on a cab, and he says, "Sir," he says, "are you an American?" I said, "Yes, sir, I am." He goes, "Why is it that your country hates us so much?" I said, "Well, good God, what do you mean? What do you mean, why do we hate you? Why are you destroying our economy by ruining the U.S. dollar?" This is a bellman, you know. I didn't know, I didn't ask him his education. I just shared with him. I said, "You know, as an American, it's a shameful policy, and I agree with you 100%, but it's out of our control. We have no control over the Federal Reserve actions our government doesn't have any interest. I said, that's private bankers. It's the same bankers that are running your RAND. It's the same bankers that are running the central banks across the entire planet. I said, but it's not us. I said, and trust me, as an American, I have never voiced one bit of hatred toward South Africa or ever hoped to have anything damage South Africa. I'm too concerned about what's happening in Bell City, Louisiana.
What a sad thing to have people here think that we are doing all of these wonderful things for these poor third world countries at our expense as we get deeper and deeper in debt, and the people actually feeling that we hate them.
Yeah, that was shocking to me. And then let me share another little shocking story. So I leave South Africa, and I fly to Johannesburg, and then I get on an airplane, and I fly to Frankfurt, Germany. And all I've got is about a four-hour layover in an airport in Frankfurt, Germany. Now, I have been to South Korea in the last year, been to Singapore, been to Cape Town, and now I'm in Frankfurt, and I'm in the airport, international airport in Frankfurt, Germany. And I decided that before, you know, since I've got this three-hour layover, I would go have me a meal. Well, when I go to get my meal, I've got some South African currency, some RAND, and I've got some U.S. dollars, but I have no euros. Well, guess what they will not take in Frankfurt, Germany at their airport? They will not take a U.S. dollar.
Oh, my God.
They showed me where I could go exchange my dollars for euros.
Oh my God, that is really horrible.
Excuse
me.
Well,
I've never been anywhere that you couldn't get a ride for a U.S. dollar, you know. But obviously the German people are so destroyed by the euro and so invested in the euro, they don't want our dollars.
Oh, my God. And
on that note, Karen, your guest has arrived.
Oh, this is wonderful. Everyone, I would like you all to welcome Larry Nelson. And Larry fits right into our conversation. Larry, I'm going to let you tell your history and what prompted you to write the book that you wrote, because Larry is absolutely 100% correct. Larry Nichols has had a long history in politics, and his new book is called Under Attack. It can be found at underattack.info. Welcome, Larry. You're talking to Karen Schoen, John Estabrooks, and Sally Baptist.
Well, good evening, Karen. How are you?
I am terrific.
Well,
and,
thank you for having me. While I was in the bullpen, I couldn't help but enjoy the conversation you had with the gentleman before.
That's John, my co-host.
I mean, it's pitiful, but it's so true. Especially the part where he was talking about we're being deceived, the middle class being destroyed. Everybody, as you know, Karen says, you know, we're trying to help the middle class. They're destroying it. What the book Under Attack is all about, and it's something I have good reason to know about because I was in the middle of it for 20, 30 years. Well, before I go to the book, Karen, let me tell the audience, if I may, just a little bit about who I am. You've heard the name Larry Nichols before. I'm the guy that brought you Jennifer Flowers, Paula Jones, Whitewater, Monica Lewinsky, just to name a few of the scandals against the Clinton administration and Bill Clinton. I'm the guy that is credited with the majority of scandals that caused Bill Clinton to be impeached, and I'm credited primarily by Bill Clinton himself in his memoirs. Of course, you don't write good about me, but the fact that he didn't write good about me is good. So I have sat quiet when Obama was running. Actually, when George W. was running, once we got Clinton gone, I had planned, Karen, to, and all of that, you know, I had planned to, is over, done. And then comes Bush, then comes 9/11, then comes the Patriot Act, and then, under the guise of terrorism, every freedom and liberty we have is being eroded. Everyone. Then you had the great bailout of 08. The bailout of 08 ostensibly was promoted as nobody's too big to fail. But as your earlier caller or earlier host was saying, anybody that's got eyes, anybody that's got ears should know that after the big bailout and after the restructuring to prevent the big banks from ever putting us in this situation again, since they're the ones that put us in the situation, the exact opposite has happened. The big banks have gotten bigger. The Federal Reserve's gotten stronger.
Uh-huh.
And then comes Obama. Well, but Obama was running against Hillary. People call me all the time because I know Hillary Clinton very well. As a matter of fact, I have a book coming out, The Hillary No One Knows. But I know him well, lived with him for years. And people ask me, well, Hillary broke the rules of the system that we had because she's so arrogant. She had that race locked up. So she thought. And that's Hillary's problem. She has a tendency to get completely arrogant. Well, people ask me about Barack Hussein Obama. I said I did not know him. So therefore, if I didn't know him, I wasn't going to talk about him. The one thing I did notice, for those of you that remember that campaign against Hillary, there was one thing that struck me, and I talked about it on the radio. He wouldn't wear the American flag lapel pin.
Mm-hmm.
And if y'all recall, that thing was like a cross to a vampire. He would not wear it. Finally, after tons and tons of pressure, not to mention the Jeremiah Wright story, he forced himself to do it. But that was the first inclination that we had that Obama wasn't what we thought he was. Well, actually, I didn't know what I thought he was because I didn't think about him at all. I didn't know him. But we know him now.
Yeah.
Now, the reason the banks got bigger, the reason your liberties and freedoms are getting smaller, the reason everything around you that you used to say, who's the other guest? I should ask your name, sir. Please forgive me.
Well, I'm not a guest. I'm a co-host.
Co-host. I'm sorry. Who are you?
Well, no, that's fine. That's fine.
Well,
I haven't been here for a month or so.
Yeah, John. Yes. Okay. I love that Louisiana accent. It makes me feel at home.
There you go.
But, so, what about all the liberties? What about the banks getting bigger, the Federal Reserve, and every one of us losing everything that we have? Health care, are you kidding me? It's destroying jobs. It's destroying lives. How? Well, now, John, Karen, if I may, I'm going to start with the book. The book.
Tell everybody
book.
About the, what the book is. Just give a little what it is first before we go right into it. This is a
the
book.
The book is a handbook. So anybody trying to get it, thinking you're going to get some literary piece of work, you're not. It's a handbook. I was contacted by probably 40, 50 Tea Party groups throughout the country that had candidates running, And they said, how can we win? With Steve Lotterett raising millions of dollars, swearing to destroy the Tea Party, when Mitch McConnell, Republican, vowed to crush the Tea Party, Karl Rove raising money and trying to disband all Tea Parties, how can we win? So I put it into the book. But it's a handbook how the Tea Party can win. But more importantly, Karen, John, it's a book for your audience to get. And when you're around the water cooler at work, if you still have a job,
yeah,
you're among friends, it's to give you stuff to talk about. Now, here's where the book begins. The book begins talking about, basically, does America exist anymore? Now, I've got the chapters out of order, but that's fine. Does America exist anymore? Is there really an America? And I want to give y'all a quick little part of a chapter that's in the book. And I want everybody to listen up, because I didn't write this. A friend of mine went to a Tea Party meeting, stood up, and they were going to say the Pledge of Allegiance, as they do at Tea Party and Patriot meetings. She couldn't say it. She called me in tears. She couldn't say, Karen, the Pledge of Allegiance. John, she couldn't make words come out of her mouth.
Mm.
And I got to thinking, well, Carol, why? She told me. That's probably the most prolific thing that anybody listening to my voice will have heard in a long time. Let's say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. That's okay.
Yep.
And to the republic for which it stands. Whoa. Whoa.
Now we're losing.
When is the last time, John, Karen, you heard a politician refer to the United States of America as a republic instead of a democracy?
Well, and that's been a big lie, huh?
Yeah.
They changed the whole American vocabulary. I mean, they, you know, and there's, the sad thing is you've got a lot of Americans walking around that don't recognize that it's not a democracy.
That's right. Now, let's go on through it real quick. To the republic for which it stands. Well, it's not a republic. One nation under God. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about which God? Or gods? Should it be under gods? Or should it be under Allah? Who should it be under? Indivisible. We are more divided as a country since Obama went in, and that was going to end all racism and all disputes throughout this country. He was the, hate to say it, Messiah. Well, guess what? We're more divided today than ever. With liberty and justice for all. Are you kidding me? How about changing that to liberty and justice for some?
Yeah, there you go.
Now, guys, all of you that can hear me, do you realize that our Pledge of Allegiance is a lie today? It's a lie. It's as big a bold-faced lie when you stand up and look at that flag as has ever been told. Now you know, guys, why I was prompted to write the book. Why? Why is it a lie? What is it about calling us a democracy? Well, folks, if you ever get a chance and you want to do a little literary work, go to Alexander Taylor. Alexander Taylor. Back in the late 1700s, he looked at every democracy throughout the history of the world. He's the one that realize all democracies fail. Many of you know of his work, although you may not know his name, but you know of his work because he was the one that did the clock about, you know, we're in bondage, and from bondage we're something, and then from something we're to freedom, and from freedom we're to something, and then you go all the way back around, you end up back in bondage again.
Yeah.
Look up Alexander Titus. And you want to know where we as a democracy end up. But he makes a very significant point. In a democracy, guys, he who has the biggest group of votes gets their turn at the trough. So all you got to do, you see, is lie. All you got to do is tell all the black folks, you know, you need to vote for a Democrat. All you got to do is tell all the Mexicans you need to vote for a Democrat. All you got to do is get people to vote in numbers, and then look what you get.
Exactly.
You don't have a representative form of government. You got my rule.
Exactly.
Now,
you have democracy.
You have democracy. Now you know what they're up to a little bit. A little bit. The next thing, I looked at our Congress. How many of you believe that there is in Washington, D.C., probably even in your home legislature, a red team and a blue team? I mean, I've lived with those suckers for years. I did orientation acclimation. There's not a Republican Party and a Democratic Party. There's not. I mean, yes, there is. But you see, they just play act.
Yeah.
They decide, you know, John, you want to talk about Ferris wheels. Okay, fine. The way we'll do it is, Karen, you being a Republican, you be against John's Ferris wheel bill, and I'll be a Democrat, and I'll be for it. And we'll
exactly.
fight like cats and dogs in the public. But in truth, we have a plan. Your government, your Congress, your John Bank. Look, if you don't believe me, this is the purpose of the book. I'm not here to tell you something conspiracy-type stuff. Lord knows I've been accused of enough of that. Fight the Clintons, believe me.
Well, Larry, we believe you, and we fondly call them the Republicrats because they are one.
They are one. But let's prove it. Let's prove it, Karen. John, let's prove it to the people that are listening. Why would John Boehner, why would Mitch McConnell, why would Karl Rove, why would Steve Lotteret, former Republican United States Congressman from Ohio, why would they vow to spend millions and millions, whatever it takes, to destroy the Tea Party at all levels? Why? That's the fiscally responsible base of the Republican Party. We thought they liked us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did until what? Until we started electing people that went to Washington and didn't become Republicrats. People that literally went to Washington and kind of stood up for what they said they were going to be.
Yes, sir.
Well, they couldn't have that. That broke down the game. That broke down the play.
Yeah. And they stood against them. I mean, every time that those guys, you know, when you think of the filibuster that Rand Paul carried on, and then
right.
you think of the filibuster that Ted Cruz, and then look at the timing of when Mitch McConnell, then he comes out and he knows that the 2014 election, if he gets a handful of those, more of those guys up there, that the House of Cards is going to fall. They know
there
that. They're aware of it.
They're aware of it, and for the first time, they have to show their dirty linen. And
yes, they do.
I'll give you another one. What is the Republican Party supposed to be? The core conservative, moral Christian. Right? Isn't it the moral Christian conservative party? And then had the Tea Party fiscally responsible? Isn't that the Republican Party? Isn't that what we've been told?
That's what we were told.
San Diego and two other states have homosexual guys running for Congress as Republicans. What's significant about this? Now I'm going to be called a homophobe. That's fine. Call me what you will. Call me what you will. But when it comes down to it, I'll stick with the Bible as my rule book. But anyway, here's this homosexual guy, this queer guy, running for United States Congress of San Diego, and on his webpage is him hugging his, whatever you call him,
significant other.
And then it shows him marching in this gay pride parade, which is the filthiest looking crap you've ever seen in your life.
Yep.
Now, he's running as a Republican, but then come to find out, Mickey Cantor gave him $10,000, Boehner $5,000, McConnell $5,000. I mean, the Republicans are just bringing him in saying, you know what? They want the Republican Party to look more like the country.
Right. Right.
Now, let me tell you where I stand as a Christian moral conservative. And guys, let me tell you, the more you know about me, the more you'll know I am not a good Christian. I am a Christian, and I'm trying to be a better one. There ain't no commandment I haven't broken a lot. None. So, and you know I worked with the Clintons for the better part of 10 years, so you know I'm not clean. But I'm going to tell you, the Republican Party has said to the Christian that goes to church, follows the scripts of the Bible. I'm talking about the Bible now. You know, God didn't like sodomy, according to the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, then you're okay. If you don't believe that, believe Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, there's stuff God didn't like about sodomy.
Yeah.
I didn't say it. He did.
Yeah.
That makes me a homophobe. He was first, and I'll do whatever he says, and I'd love to be like him. Then you had the Tea Party, which fiscal responsibility, well, they just signed a blank check for Obama, did they not, to remove the ceiling on the debt ceiling, limit on the debt ceiling?
Yeah, sure did.
They sure did.
You know, one of the big things, too, and I want to bring it up because it wears on me. I just got through watching, and it was on HBO, and then I went ahead and I ordered a DVD. You know, with everything that we know that took place with the deregulation of the banks prior to the bailout and what created the need for a bailout, not one of those people has ever done any jail time.
Not one. Hey, I got a newsflash for you.
All right.
Not one of them lost a job.
No, that's a fact. Yeah, they all moved on.
You know, let's not say they didn't go to jail. That's pretty extreme. You know, I mean, after all, they just destroyed the United States economy. But, hey, they didn't go to jail, but they didn't even lose their job. They either got promoted up.
Every American should take the time and when they're on Amazon and they're purchasing your handbook, go ahead and purchase the DVD, An Inside Job, so that they can lay it out for you. And look, if you're not outraged, well, then shame on you, because
it
walks down through the entire, you know, and then it goes back to Billy Boy Clinton. It even goes back, you know, I guess you could reach all the way back to Richard Nixon. But we've got a system where these folks have all been in bed together now for decades, and that's the government that we have. There is no separation by the parties.
Nope. And here's another thing. So for the first
1 minute before we go any further, folks, we have to take a quick station break. And you are all listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on blogtalkradio.com, American Statesman, every Tuesday from 8 to 10, and on Red State Talk Radio every Wednesday at 12 noon and every Sunday at 12 in the evening, and that is redstatetalkradio.com. Please visit our website, panhandlepatriots.com, agenda21today.com, Save America Foundation, where I will be speaking tomorrow.com, the
that's not the full name, and KarenShone.com and VoteKarenShone.com. You're listening to Karen Shone with my co-host who has finally returned. John, he is not among the missing folks. He is in the flesh today. And our producer, Sally Baptist. Our guest is Larry Nichols, author of UnderAttack.info. Thank you all for joining us this evening. Gentlemen, the floor is yours.
Well, I guess I should have told one other thing, John and Karen. I'm a Green Beret, Burt Colonel. Two tours in Vietnam.
Well, we appreciate your service.
We certainly appreciate your service, Larry.
One of the reasons I came out against Clinton, he outed me when I was fighting in Nicaragua. I spent eighteen months in Afghanistan fighting against Soviets with Mossad Dean. I know Muslims, and I don't like them.
Now, there you go.
Let's get back to where we were, and I'll hurry.
Larry, I wanted to mention one thing to you. The other day when I was out campaigning, I am running for office, State Representative District 5,
That is VoteKarenShone.com.
But exactly what you said, it was 100% true. My opponent who was there came over to me and he said, well, Karen, I see you're out in the district spreading democracy. And I looked at him and I said, no, I'm not. And he said, why? What are you doing? And I said, what kind of a country is America? And he said, it's a democracy. And you are absolutely right. Our elected officials have absolutely no idea what our country is about. And folks,
well,
you've got to pay attention to who you elect.
Go ahead, Larry.
You see, under the guise of democracy, what a democracy, and then here comes a big one, immigration. In the book, I tell you, it's not about jobs that Americans won't do. That's not what immigration's about. You see, folks, I believe firmly. Now, y'all may disagree with this. This is conjecture on my part. But I believe this election in 2014 and certainly the one in 2016 will be the last free election as we in America have known elections ever. You real?
Yeah.
I agree with you, Larry. If we don't,
I'm not too sure. We just didn't witness the last one. I mean, that's a great statement.
Because I'm not too sure.
You know, when you look at several of the inconsistencies in the last presidential election, I'm not too sure we had a free election there. So
we've all had it. Look, I've rigged more elections. Most people voted. I mean, I've done it.
Yeah.
I know you've rigged elections, but that's not what this is. This is the democratization. This is the mob rule. Now, in case you think I'm making it up, that this may be the last election where the moral, Christian, conservative, average American gets to decide the fate or participate even in deciding the fate of the country. I remember something Chuck Schumer said about 2 months ago. He said that the Republicans were either going to have to get on board with immigration reform, or Obama was going to do it with his pen and executive order. And then he said this, guys. He said, and then in November, the Republicans will pay for it. Because we have a lot more voters. Now, you see, when you hear them talk about immigration, they say they're going to have to get in line. They can't. They're just basically, you're told, one of the great lies, you're told that they're just going to be given a work visa, but they got to get at the end of the line. They can't be citizens, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what Chuck Schumer is saying and what is said, but you really very seldom hear, is they keep talking about amnesty. Now, guys, they tell you, you've heard the figure, all of you, that there's 11 to 12 million illegal Mexicans in this country. There are 11 million. There are 11 million Koreans in this country, according to the census 2010. Now, where y'all live, have y'all got a vibrant Korean community?
Yep.
I don't know whether we do in Lake Charles or not.
I bet you don't.
No, I don't think
one.
So.
They're spotty. You know, certainly California's got them. Certainly, you know, whatever, New York.
Yeah,
but
Houston.
I want you to take a dart. Take a dart, guys. And throw it on a map. Just throw a dart on a map of the United States and wherever it is, that will be a huge contingent of Mexicans. What do you bet?
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere. When I went, if there's 11 to 12 million, like there are Koreans, then you shouldn't be able to see them everywhere. But they're everywhere. Folks, I'm telling you, there's 30 to 60 million illegal Mexicans in this country.
I've seen that number before.
Hispanics, excuse me, Salvadorians, et cetera.
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine, guys, if they grant amnesty to those people? Do you know what one of the benefits of amnesty is? You can vote.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
You can vote.
Sure.
60 million voters knew that vote in blocks, that, by the way, can't even read a ballot unless it's written in Mexican.
Yeah.
Our chance to win another election or to have an effect will be over. Now, if you don't think all this is true, I dare you all to get the book, get the e-book. You can get the e-book. It's $4.95. You can get the paperback. It's $9.95. Read it. The last chapter, and this is what's interesting, I think, or should interest you, Karen, is what to do for the Tea Party to win. In a general election, the Tea Party will not have enough votes to control an election. But in every Republican primary that's run in this country, every Republican primary, if the Tea Parties would get together, make out a sample ballot statewide of every Tea Party candidate running from dog catcher to a United States Senator. Now remember, Steve, what's his name, and Mitch McConnell, and John Boehner, and Karl Rove, they're trying to destroy the Tea Party at every level. In Ohio, Lockheed Ritt went around to each county and gave $20,000 to every county commissioner that was old guard Republican hardline. $20,000 at a county commissioner race? Are you kidding me?
Mm.
Listen, we're under attack. That's the name of the book. We're under attack. We're in a war. And people don't even know it. I mean, you can't have a war. You can't win a war. You can't be in a war if you don't realize you're in a war. And we have so many Americans, Karen, as you walk around, as you walk and try to talk to people, you know what? They're so dumbed down. They don't know nothing. They don't know nothing. But the Tea Party, if all the Tea Party, see the neat thing about the Tea Party is multifaceted, a whole bunch of little groups. So they can't penetrate it and put a spy inside it or somebody to take it over. That's the good news. Bad news. There's so many little groups, and each one of them have their little power centers, and they don't want to work together.
That is a big problem.
Yeah, it is.
Well, let me tell you, somebody needs to let them talk to me, because I'll yank their young asses right in line. You better listen to everybody that's in the Tea Party. This
you know
is my
what,
country. Ma'am?
I hope you do, because John and I have been beating that drum since we started this station. All we have been talking about is if we don't stop and focus on the real enemy and stop eating each other and focus on the important issue, everybody could fight their own battles, but if we don't tackle the real one first, we're not going anywhere. And that's what is happening. You're absolutely right. Each one of these little power centers wants their own power.
Yeah, now I'm going to tell you a little trick. What's the name of your opposition that you're running against?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have a primary yet. It could be Brad Drake or Jan Hooks, and Travis Pitt would be the Democratic candidate.
You're not going to have a primary candidate?
No, I'm running on the Libertarian ticket. I am set up
with
the Republicans and the Democrats.
Good move. In the book, I tell about a guy in Pennsylvania ran as a write-in candidate against Republican and Democrat. Everybody said he didn't have a chance in a three-way race about 2 months ago. It's a special election. People were so upset that the guy won a write-in. First time in Pennsylvania. The timing is now. The problem is you in the Tea Party, you libertarians, and I know, here we go, libertarians, well, they're for drugs. Tea Party, well, we're moral. We don't want drugs. Look, when I fought Bill Clinton, and by the way, I did it by myself. There wasn't nobody, wasn't no Republicans. I mean, Hillary's talking about the vast right-wing conspiracy. Look it up in the history books. That was me. When I went around, there were groups that believed you didn't have to have a driver's license. There were groups that believed having a Social Security number was wrong. There were all these different conservative pet peeves, and they all fought each other, thinking theirs was the biggest idea and the bestest. And I went around and I said, hey, guys, you better fight the head of the dragon. And if you do, then if we win, you can all split up and fight each other then, but until we save the country, you better get your act together. And you know what people did? There was a video made about me called The Clinton Chronicles. Many people saw it. As a matter of fact, some 60 million were sold. Everything that was done to get Bill Clinton impeached that I didn't do on purpose, that just happened, I'm relaying out for you in this book. Tea Party people, here it is. Make a list of Tea Party candidates running from Dogcatcher to the United States Congress. Make sure everybody in your organization has that sample ballot. Then, if there's not a Tea Party candidate, then look for a Libertarian candidate. If there's not a Libertarian candidate, Tea Party candidate, you know what? Then whoever it is against the incumbent. But make out those ballots and give it to people. Now, every member of the Tea Party, every Libertarian member of the Libertarian Party, you make a list of 10 people. 10. And you make sure that every one of those 10 go vote. I don't care if you got to call them up. I don't care if it's snowing. I don't care if the alligators are out in Florida. Take them. You make sure all 10 people vote. Can you make sure when they walk into the voting booth they have that sample ballot so they know exactly which switch to vote for? Because here's what happens in an election, and the big guys know it. I know it. That's how you used to read elections. People go, Karen John, they go to vote. They vote for one of two races. Your cousin's running for county sheriff. Their sister's running for bookkeeper. Then they get in the booth, and all these other switches, they don't even know who those people are. So you know what they do? They just flip a switch. Hey, I don't know who Larry Nichols is or Karen or John. I don't know none of these people, but you know I've heard that name, Nichols. So they flipped the switch. They flipped the switch. And that's how the incumbents always win, guys. They know that if they say their name over and over and over, when people get into the ballot voting booth and they vote for the two or three people that they came to vote for, all these other votes they will cast just because of name recognition. So you make sure your 10 people have a sample ballot telling them which switch to flip and leave no seat unlaid out for them.
Good idea. I like that.
Now,
that's a very, very good idea.
Well, it's not just an idea. If everybody in the Libertarian Party, everybody in the Tea Party, everybody that's a true conservative, moral, Christian soul who believes in the precepts, the concepts of this country, if you can hear me, it seems to me when we've got men and women, young men and women, the best of us, in hell holes all over this world, especially in the Middle East, scared to death that they're going to be killed, many will, and be maimed, away from their families, away from their homes, it would seem to me that if they're doing that for us, the least we could do is pick out 10 people, make sample ballot, get along with each other, come up and work together to save this country. It seems to me that that ought to be reasonable and attainable, but I assure you it's complicated because people are so damn petty, so damn jealous. So if
yeah.
you are, if you're not willing to do what I just told you, number one, let's go through the drill. Let's do it. Make a sample ballot. For every seat in the state, in your case, Karen, Florida, in your state, John, Louisiana, make a sample ballot. Take the time to take every race from dog catcher in each county to United States Congressman, United States Senator. Do it. And lay out every candidate and have it set up to where people can take this sheet of paper, walk into the voting ballot, voting booth, and just follow the instructions.
Not a bad idea.
Then every Tea Party, you get a copy of that.
Love it, Larry.
Get a copy of it.
Love that.
And every member of the Libertarian Party, Karen, you make that and you give it to them. You give it to them and you say, pass this around to every other Libertarian we know. Now, do that. And you're on a road to victory. Number two, name 10 people. Come on, guys. Good God Almighty. Name 10 people. You know, they can be your cousins, they can be your brothers, they can be co-workers, they can pick out 10 people and make sure that they vote.
Right.
And I don't care what you do. I don't care how you do it. I don't care if you put a gun to their head, but you make sure they vote and you make sure they have that ballot. You make
That's
sure
a great
they
idea.
Have that ballot.
It is a great idea, Larry.
And you know what? If y'all will do that, you will win. And do something else. To any person that hears my voice right now, now please hear this, Karen, it's not for you and John because you dedicated your lives to it, but for those that are listening, I want you to take your thumb and your pointing finger, all of you do it, take your thumb and your pointing finger here on your right or left hand, I want you to rub them together. Are you doing it? Rub those two fingers together, are you? If you're not willing to do these things that I just told you, if you're not willing to do that, you better be careful because that distance between your thumb and your pointing finger is how close you are to being a treasonous bastard, a traitor.
There you
go. How close you are. You know, guys, I ain't running for nothing. I got nothing to lose except the country. And there is no time now for mincing words. There's no time now for falling short of an effort that must be monumental because we have to do what we have to do to win. And for those of you who say, well, we can't do it, you don't have enough Tea Party people in the general election. If you got a primary coming, you can win the Republican primary. Tea Party, wake up. You got enough people to win the Republican primary. You can redefine the Republican Party, and it ain't one team no more to do that.
Yep.
But in case you think this can't work, there was another time in our history when we were a nation divided, and we were being led by another dictatorial force, the old king. Most people think everybody fought in the Revolutionary War. 4% of this nation actually participated in the Revolutionary War. 4%. And won.
That's an amazing number, but folks need to listen to that because that's spot on. And 3% started it and 4% won it.
That's right.
And you know what else? Most of the people that fought in that war were between the ages of 16 and 35.
Yes.
Most of the people. Do not think that young people should not be involved.
Yeah, and I got one other group. One other group, guys, we don't have a big enough army with the Tea Party and Libertarians to win a general election, but there is one group that I identified in the book. I'll bet you where you guys are. Because the economy's so bad, because the country's in such bad shape, you know where the biggest group of people are on Sunday morning? They're in church. You go around your towns, your communities, and those churches are full. Those parking lots are full of cars. And explain to me why, you know, how in Columbus, Ohio, they're able to put up a billboard. They're able to put up a billboard that says Jesus Christ is a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's bad. But you know what's worse? Church right across the street, this big old church right across the street, didn't say a thing about it. You see, somebody's got this thing going that every time you turn around, you know, they kick God out of church, or they kick God, out of schools. They keep it out of public buildings, and you can't mention it. You can't do this, that, and the other. But in public schools, in Maryland, for example, 30 days a year, 30 days, in the Maryland School District, all the way from kindergarten to high school, they have Muslim or Islam month. And that's where all the girls were burqas, and they study Islam.
Wow.
And they make sure they have a room where they have prayer mats. And then during the whole year, they can have prayer mats. And then they take a month to celebrate Ramadan, let the students out. Because now in Decatur, Michigan, they had the same thing, big Muslim population there. Well, this one school, they sent out a thing, sent it home with the kids saying, you know, these three are going on Easter Sunday at the church. The Muslims raised hell. They protested and said that that was in violation of the United States Constitution. Violation of church, separation of church and state. Folks, let me set the record clear. Get the book. It's very clear in the book. That ain't a constitution. It ain't a Declaration of Independence. Matter of fact, in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, clearly states that it is not to interfere with religion.
That's right.
Not to cut it out. The whole concept of church and state came from a letter from Thomas Jefferson,
yep,
the church that was mad at him, and they were knocking, and they were jumping him about this and saying he wasn't a good Christian, he wasn't that, whatever. And you know what? He sent him a letter and said, hey, you leave my politics and my religion out, basically is what he said, and that became to this day known as separation of church and state, which does not exist.
Nope.
Now, you need to go to your preacher. You Tea Party members, you libertarians in your church, get together, and I want you to sign a letter and take it to the preacher and see the preacher's probably in a 501c3 church. I'm hurrying because I know we're running out of time. 501c3 church, which says, you know, they can't deal in any politics. Fine. You don't need your preacher to talk about voting for you, Karen, or not. We don't need the preacher to do that kind of stuff. But I tell you what the preacher better do. You better stand up for taking God out of our country. And you better stand up and defend Jesus Christ versus Allah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you get your preacher, if you guys will sign a letter to the preacher and say, Pastor, we've got to put God back in our schools. We've got to put Jesus Christ back in our public buildings. We've got to put God back in his rightful place before this country is cast and doomed to hell. A preacher, mm-hmm, you've got to lead this congregation. And you know what? There's enough folks on Sunday morning in these churches to do one thing, put God back in this country. And you better watch out. In Florida, Karen, you had a judge who just approved, and it's the third judgeship in Florida that approved, guess what, a Sharia law court.
What?
A Sharia law court. So if you're a
Muslim. We just passed in the Florida legislature, and I believe the governor signed it, which is probably the only good thing that he did all year. And that was American laws in American courts, and there will be no other law in a Florida court except an American law.
That's right.
So
they did that. They did that, but what the federal judge did to go around that is he established a Sharia court.
Right.
So if you're a Muslim and you don't like the way our law deals with crime as such, then you can claim Islam and be put in those three counties or three districts. You can go into a Sharia court under Sharia law.
Well, we're going to have to go after that one and hopefully and get it overturned, because that would be a segregation.
Let me ask
you, that
Karen,
would be
Karen,
unequal. I'm sorry?
Karen, don't do that. You go into federal court. Why? You're going into their game.
No, I'm talking about you, it's the Constitution, and I forgot the article. I know. But it is,
honey, I know.
The one that,
Karen, I know.
Discusses,
Karen,
the, yeah.
I know. But we have to learn. Do you know who the most important person in our government today is? Do you know who is the front line of defense, the only thing that's going to save this nation? Do you know? And it's not the county sheriff, no. It's your state legislature, your state legislator. Let me tell you, you, John, I, Karen, we can't write a constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Our town can't write a constitution. Our county can't write a constitution, but our state can.
Exactly.
Our state legislators can get together and they can draft a state law. And a state law that says, oh, for example, Obamacare ain't coming into Florida or into Louisiana. It's a state law. It's not coming. Now, here's why I tell you not to go to court, the federal court. You go to federal court, you're going to lose. That's within the system. That's like getting into the chamber.
But it's against the state. It's against the state law, which was just signed.
You know, hey,
so it has to be done by the state.
Go to the state. State says it can't happen, therefore it will not exist. Then, somebody will sue in state court, then it'll win or lose, then it'll go to state appellate court, win or lose there. Now, at that point, whenever it gets to a state appellate court and then somebody files a countersuit in federal court, don't go. Tell your state, not you, not me, not individuals. We can't do it. They'll throw us in jail.
Well,
but you know, the state can say, we're not going. What are they going to do, arrest all your Florida legislature? They're going to arrest your governor. No.
Exactly, and this is why I'm running for office in the state, because our state legislators have no idea the power that they have nor how to use it, and the people don't realize that they have more power and they don't understand how to use it either. And
well,
that's
see, Karen,
basically why I'm talking to people.
That's your new message. That's your message of victory. People need to understand, listen, we can send people to Washington all we want to. All right? They
now
get up there, it makes no difference. It makes no difference. Right. Washington is gone. All right? It's broken. The only way to stump break Washington is to prove that it has no clothes. Remember, the emperor has no clothes.
Right, exactly.
So what you do is we say, at the state level, folks, we will determine whether we in the state of Florida want Obamacare, or whether we want to go back to the health care system we had, or whatever we want.
Right.
And then when the federal government says, no, you will do this, that, or the other, you know what we say? No. Then they're going to say, the federal government's going to say, well, yeah, you know what, we'll cut off your federal highway funds, fine. We'll stop sending our funds to the federal government first.
Exactly.
And then let them donate back
to us. That's exactly what I have been telling
counties. You know what they're going to say? Well, gosh, then they'll cut off our educational funding from the federal government.
In my district, I am going to eliminate Common Core, and we're even going to eliminate technology, because the technology is a class. It's not a lifestyle.
Can I tell you
the
trick?
You have to understand how to live before you need to understand the role of technology. If you can't make informed decisions, then it doesn't matter what device is in front of you. It won't work.
Can I tell you a secret, a nasty secret in politics that's used every day at the big league national level? The real power, y'all, is not in love. Not in love. Anybody in national politics or any political, it's been at it for years, knows the oldest saying in the book, and it works every time. I mean every time. You can never make someone love you enough. Now remember this little rhyme, Karen. You can never make someone love you enough to work as hard to get you elected as someone that hates you will work to defeat you. You hear me? You can never get someone to love you enough to work as hard to get you elected as somebody that hates you work to defeat you.
Get you defeated, yes.
Now, let me ask you this. Where's true power? Is true power love? No. True power is hate.
Well, actually, I look at it differently. The power is emotion, and you get to control your emotion. And you can replace love with hate if you understand what it is. And that's
Karen,
the problem.
Me a favor.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, honey. If you want to win that state race, and I want you to win it because we need you in the state legislature in Florida so at least we can get Florida started on the track of saving this country.
Yes.
Let me tell you, you remember this. You, and yes, it is a function of emotion, but you need to get people fired up. You need to make them hate what is going on. Hate it so bad that, you know what, they'll get up and they'll get that list of who to vote for. They'll get so mad. They'll get so tired of being had. They'll get up, and you know what? They'll get 10 people and help them get to the election. You know, then you make them hate so bad the fact that there is this whole herd of probably 30 to 60 million Mexicans just to be able to vote, which will outvote American middle class for the first time. We'll never have another vote. Make them hate it. And you know what? If they hate it that much, they'll get up and they will vote and they'll spread the word. And then, you know what? Everybody will start working together because they hate what's happening so much. But
I agree with you. They have to feel the pain. And right now, the sad part is they don't feel it enough.
Well,
I think that's changing, though, huh?
I think there's a shift, and people do feel it because inflation is starting to eat their household income. Obamacare is working on them.
There you go. The greatest thing that has happened to ignite the average person for the first time, you know what, is Obamacare. Guess what? It's affecting everybody. Do me a favor, y'all. You can get my book.
I will.
And then if you need to get the e-book, if you need to get the book, it's okay. Now, my publicist is listening, but, you know, hey, if you want to get the book and if you need to help people make a copy of it or copy the pages, give it to them or at least take the chapter.
I'll send them to the e-book version, the ones that are online.
Send them to $4.95. Hey, if they won't spend $4.95 to save this country, then to hell with them. But, folks, it's you know, it's under attack.
Larry, you're right. I'm going to the Libertarian Convention this Saturday. Anybody in Florida? LPF, Libertarian Party of Florida. And, Larry, this is exactly what I intend to tell them. We have to put all differences aside, and instead of each of us fighting our own battle, we have to come up with a priority list with a game plan that we can present as a positive game plan, saying this is what we're going to do, and until we're all on the same page, that's the problem.
That's what the handbook is for. And in the handbook, you'll see every chapter is a story. It's a story that's in your face. It's not conjecture. It's not, you know, conspiracy stuff. When you read it to those that are politicals, you'll go, well, gosh, there's nothing new here. Well, yeah, let me tell you, there is. Not for us, because we study it. We know it. But the average person don't know it. But when they get that book, there's one other part of the things you do. Read the e-book, and folks, what you do is pick stories out of it. Pick a chapter, and then when you're at the water cooler talking to your friends, tell them about it. And I'll tell you something else. Get people at your home. Have a party with that book and use it as a tool, as a hidden book. It's just 100 pages. By design, you should be able to read it in an hour to hour and a half. I did that on purpose because I knew it was long, people wouldn't read it.
Yes, and first we have to recognize that most people can't read. So.
Yeah. Well, we can read it to them.
You can tell them at a private gathering.
I'm so glad to connect with this, because last week I had a gentleman also on the show, and what we were talking about is similar, and I'm coming up with a operations manual. And the problem that I'm finding is that as I went around the district, I'm using the district as a test model, three things were the most important. One was their family situation, God, morality, health care, okay. That kind of the personal. The other was they lost their business. Now they're forced to take a job that's such a lesser income.
That's right.
While
and
our
that's all
governor
part of the Communist Manifesto,
right.
Which
is well, yes, it's all part of the same plan because we study Agenda 21, and it's all part of the plan. So what I realized was, okay, now we know what the plan is, but now they have to know how to use that plan and apply it, recognize it, and change it, because you can change it quickly, and people don't realize that, by doing and using the money draw and withholding funding. I asked an attorney last year when Race to the Top, 2 years ago, when Race to the Top was being put in the school. And I went to him and I said, you have to stop this. And he said, well, it's too late. Governor Chris already took the money and spent it. And I said, let me ask you a question. You're an attorney. If I signed a contract with someone and that contract was fraud and given to me under a fraudulent manner, and I later found out that it was fraud and it was done that way on purpose to defraud me, am I still legally bound to honor that contract? And
well,
he said, no. And I said,
then
why are we following Common Core? Because that's exactly what this was. Well, I later found out that in Florida we're following Common Core because of Jeb Bush. So what I'm doing is I'm talking to the people in the districts, and I'm asking them this question. How much money do you get from the federal government? Oh, about 10 to 15%. How much money do you have to spend implementing the programs that the federal government are mandating in order for you to get the 10 to 15%? Oh, well, we're spending about 40 to 50%. I said, well, explain to me in what math. Giving somebody $50 and getting back 10 is a good thing. If you didn't take the $10, you wouldn't be spending $50, and
there
then you
go.
Wouldn't have to follow this program.
It's almost so simple, it's stupid, isn't it?
That's right. But that was when I realized that because the left, or whoever the program, whatever we want to call them, the communists, I like that best, because that's really what they are. What they did is they presented the plan with all the glossy pictures and the websites and the this and the that. So they give the people, first you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this, and then the people don't think anymore, which is what school has now become. So what we do, we say, well, here's all the information. Go and learn it and make your own decision. People are not capable of doing that anymore. What we have to do is say, this is what you do, and then you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this, and here's the glossy website, and here's the brochure, and here's the this, and here's the that, and at the end, you have the same, because they understand right now how to follow the directions, because that's all they can do. And what we're doing is we're making them think, and they're not capable of that.
Well,
we've got to give them the directions.
That's right.
So that's what I'm working on, is giving them the directions. This is what we do. This is what we do. This is what we do. And that's the way I will design the district.
Well, would you do me a favor now?
Yeah.
Well, I know we're out of time, and I've imposed on y'all way too long. Two things. Please, I will send you a copy of the book, an autographed copy of the book, but don't wait for that, because I'm slow as Christmas. I'll send it to both of you. I just need you to get Michael and email him the addresses and such.
Okay.
Now, The other thing, get the e-book and get it down immediately. Now, anything in that e-book, I think it will help you in your plan of organizing and planning, because I hope you will find concurrence with the book that it's kind of already doing almost everything you want. Look at it. If it is in line, Aaron, with what you would like to present to people, then by all means, present it. It is yours. Present it as yours. You have my 100% approval. You have my endorsement. You can copy it. You can do whatever. Pass it out. Pass out pop parts of it. Now, everybody go to, you know, go to underattack.info. Go there and at least read about it. Read about that, me. Karen, it's for you. It's for you to use. John, it's for you to use.
Okay.
Use it. Use it. Now, Karen, if ever you're at a place that you're going to speak at or a group and you want me to speak to them, because I will not mince words, they will know, by God, when I get through.
Well,
more stories about me on this. There's more stories about me on the Internet than there are the Rolling Stones. Most of them bad, but that's all right. And by the way, I'm the only person in my family, maybe the first guest you've ever had, that's actually in a president's memoirs. Well, I'm in Clinton's, and he didn't write good about me, and that's good.
Fabulous, Larry. That's wonderful. That's it.
But
I will certainly give your name out to all of the people. I'll put it in our newsletter, and we'll give it out to all the people that we know. We'll have them, you know, talk to you.
But will you promise me?
This is what we've got to do immediately by the beginning of June. How we're going to do that.
Karen, will you promise me one thing, and then I'll leave you alone. Promise me that if you need me to help you in any way, you have my phone number.
I will certainly do that.
You call me 24/7. If you need me to speak on your behalf to a group via the phone or whatever, I don't have any money, so I can't fly out and be at every function. But if you've got a cell phone and a loudspeaker, by God, I can tell them. And you'll be amazed in Florida. People in Florida know the name Larry Nichols because it was one of the largest states that got the Clinton Chronicles, one of the biggest states that helped me in the fight against Clinton. So they know that name if you remind them.
I will certainly remind them. Yes, we will. Yep,
and John,
we
can.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
We're brothers.
We might,
together, buddy.
There you go. And we've got a Tea Party candidate running for Senate, and he just got Sarah Palin's endorsement, which was really big. He's an old military guy, you know, he's Colonel Rob Manis, and boy, we're glad that he's starting to make some headway, because he is sure going to fight an uphill battle against the establishment Republican, and Mary Landrieu is. Well, she's the liar of Louisiana.
Landrieu comes from a long family of crooks and criminals and liars. I've known
there
him
you
a
go.
Long time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. So let me ask you one more time, Larry, so we make sure that folks
Edwards.
Can get. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, and you know, and old Edwards is running for Congress, huh?
Well, I know, but leave him alone.
I don't think he's got too much of a chance. Nobody's given him a whole lot of chance.
When I said I worked for him, he hired me to be a consultant. I helped him get elected.
There's a lot of folks in Louisiana recognize one thing about old Edward. Well, we recognize a few things. Number one, I mean, yeah, he was our crook, huh? But I don't think that old Edwin ever did he took a lot of money and he did some underhanded stuff a lot of the money he took was from wealthy folks anyway in the casino game. But outside of that, I mean, he sure did a lot for Louisiana, and he always stood up and told the federal government what they could do with their thoughts.
That's right. Edwin Edwards, for all he was, I assure you this, he was for Louisiana.
Yep.
And, yeah, he was going to take what he could take. He was going to get what he could get. He was going to make what he could make. But he never made it. Now, I'm saying this as a truism, and it doesn't make sense, but it is true. He never made it off the back of the working man in Louisiana. He had a rule.
No,
he would never do that.
Nope. And that's a fact. I agree with that 100%. I've always told people that, you know, for all of his downfalls, he was our guy, and I don't think he ever shafted a working man in Louisiana.
That's right.
He was never a big fan of the federal government, and he stood and told the federal government on more than one occasion what, you know, when he closed
That's
the
right.
valves on them pipelines, he did it because he thought the federal government was ripping off the state of Louisiana and they should have been giving us some pipeline fees. And guess what? It didn't take him but just about 48 hours to get it done.
That's right. Well, you all, thank you so much for letting me come on, and I would love
Larry,
to do it anytime
give,
you want.
All right, listen, give everybody your information again and how they can get the e-book, and let's let our listeners have all that info one more time.
Well, you bet. It's underattack.info. You can also, if you get lost at that, you can go to LarryNichols.com, and then it'll link you up with that link. But go to underattack.info, and the reason I want you to go there is so that we can at least have a counter that tells us how many people are actually coming and at least checking us out. Please come. Please do.
Excellent. Certainly appreciate your time. It's been a wonderful interview. Your history speaks well for your love of America. And once again, thank you for your service to your country, and thank you for what you're doing now, because there's a lot of folks that just don't understand. We're on the last legs, folks, and this man shared some great information on what's necessary, and the reality is we've got to take these actions. We've got things that we have got to get done in 2014, because if we don't, 2016 may not even be available to us.
John, just remember, please, guys, remember that trick about taking your pointing finger and your thumb and rubbing them together.
Sir.
That's how close people are that say, well, they would never commit treason, they would never be a traitor. That's how close you are. When you deny what's happening to this country and do nothing about it, that's what you're doing, and that's how close you are. Make them do it right in front of you, John.
Yes, sir, I'll do
right
it.
In front of him, rub those fingers and say, do you realize that's how close you are to committing treason? That's how close
yeah.
you are to violating the Constitution of the United States. That any military guy, by the way, he swore to protect and defend. And by the way, there was no fuse date on that. Your oath didn't stop when you got out. You swore to protect against enemies, foreign and domestic.
Yeah,
people think
absolutely.
About the foreign side, but they don't think about the domestic side. Fire up your vets.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know, it's a sad state and a fact, though, that, you know, when I look around at all of the Tea Party rallies and the things and the events that I go to, it is our vets that are standing true, standing firm, and God love them. God bless what they're doing. You know, this Operation American Spring, that's veteran supported. Our veterans know what they've fought. Huh? They understand
right.
what they have been on the front lines of turning back communism, and now to have to live in this United States of America that is no longer the republic that we were granted in our Constitution and guaranteed. They get it. They got it, and God love them for everything that they do, because that's to me is the folks that are holding the front line.
All right, my friends. Well, I've got to run. Got another show. But please call
okay.
me anytime.
Well, thank
we'll
you so much, Larry.
Thank
it
you.
It's been a
thank
pleasure.
You guys. It's been an honor. Thank you very
yeah,
much.
Yeah, God bless you, sir.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Good night. Well, that was a wonderful education.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's... Folks like that have been on the front lines, and especially anybody that took on Bill and Hillary. If you don't respect that, well then you know you're just not paying attention, because those were the most powerful political people on the planet Earth, huh? And it took a big, huge battle for that man to stand and to bring everything to light. And hey. You know, it's a wonder he didn't get, you know, murdered, because there are a lot of skeletons in the Bill and Hillary closet.
They were not very kind to their enemies.
No, they never have been. Yeah. But that's a pretty amazing story, and I can't wait to get the book and start putting it to use.
Yes.
We certainly got it. We've got a lot of tools at our disposal, and I think that the Tea Parties are starting to somewhat unite, and it doesn't matter. You and I have been on that page as Americans, and let's stop the divide. Let's recognize where they're attempting to divide us and not allow it. Don't allow the huge divide by design. It's their design, and we've got to break through their design, and I think that's what Larry's will do. I mean, it gives you some tools. I mean, and we've got to have a big toolbox to beat these folks, and it's going to take a huge effort. You know, but it really is, there's a lot of logic to sitting down with 10 folks and getting their commitment to find 10 other people, and you know, that's a logical thought, and that's a logical process that we're going to have to take those steps. And I know you're doing that, Karen. And
that's
boy,
what
I
I'm
certainly
doing. I'm doing. My it's very funny that he said that, because my program is $10, get a yard sign, and 50 business cards, and I was going to give them a copy of the Citizen Rule Book, which has all of the manifesto and all the other, you know, it ties things together in a very short little book, and it also has the Constitution, and then tell them that they have to go and find 10 other people. And
yeah,
those 10 people get 10 more people and 10 more people. And that was the concept. It was very, very interesting listening to him, but that's the concept that I'm working off of. And that's, this is exactly what he is talking about. Explain what he was talking about with the fingers.
Yeah.
Putting the fingers together?
Well, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, that is. That's how close we are.
Your
thumb and your index finger and rub them together, put them together, and that's how close we are to being actually traitors, you know, and committing treason against our own country by not taking action.
And that's
what folks need to recognize. You know, we just had a little tax election in Calcasieu Parish a few weeks ago. I was had already had to exercise my right to vote, but I was gone when 33 people in my little community turned out to voice their vote and to have their vote counted. 33 people. Wow,
that
it's
was
sad.
Yep. I'm sorry, I thought you said 133 people.
No. 133 would have been, you know, I'm trying to think, Karen. At 133, we might have had 9%, huh? But only 33 people voted in the entire election, and thank God the 33 that did vote had paid attention to what I had put out in the local.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really,
so we did defeat a useless tax.
Yeah. That's the biggest problem, is that the people don't understand how important this is, because they've been trained not to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
And they've been trained to, like you said, pay attention, like, to Beyonce and Jay-Z, rather than the fact that the drone that Obama allowed the Iranians to confiscate on purpose has now been duplicated by Iran. They have a drone. Aren't we lucky?
Well, and how much help do you think they're getting from the Russians?
Yep.
And the Chinese, for that matter.
Yep.
Mm.
So, you know,
it's scary times.
It is going to be very scary times. Very, very scary times. But, well, we will, you know, we will not stop. So that's the whole deal. We will not stop. We will continue. And we will wake up more and more and more people. And I agree with you, John. I see that happening.
Yeah. Well, and I, this, the mechanism that Larry bringing forth a 100-page, you know, sounds like that's a short read, and it is for folks that do read. And then you brought up a very valid deal, you know, how many Americans don't read and aren't willing to even, you know, read a couple pages, let alone to read 100. So we've got our homework.
Yeah.
Those of us that are willing to take the action can bring the news and bring the message, and that's our task. And hopefully, you know, I was in total agreement with your statement about the angry person, you know, and the effort that one angry voter will do to overturn, you know, a good person.
Well, it takes.
So we've got to put a fire in the belly of the American voters all across this nation, you know, to win in 2015.
That
not just to win. Yeah.
Marketing 101, and folks, what that is it takes seven times, a person will experience seven times something that's good, and they won't talk about it until the seventh time. And when they experience something bad, they will talk about it immediately.
There you go.
So this is the same principle applied to politics, and he's absolutely right. And what did they used to say in sales? Show them the pain, show them the gain.
That's it.
So you have to
That's
hit
exactly
the
what we've got to do. Well, and I think that there's enough Americans that are feeling pain. You know, everybody's being affected by Obamacare. Everybody's being affected.
Right.
They go to the grocery store. You know, and then you've got the folks. I promise you that each and every listener has at least one friend that they know right now that's unemployed. So there are people out there that are willing listeners, and it's up to us to motivate them to action, and that's the mission. We have to get an active voter, conservative base that puts more conservative voices in Washington, and that's our job. That's our mission.
And really in the state, folks, let 14 be in the state, then you'll have the right people in the state, and then you can take care of Washington. But, John,
there you
we have a great night. I can't believe that this time is up already. Oh, my goodness.
It goes fast, huh?
Yes, it did. It's so great to have you back.
Well,
and
I'm glad to be back, too. I'll tell you what, I'm an appreciator of Americans, I promise you. I'm always glad
to
get my feet back on American soil.
That's great to hear. I will be at the Libertarian Convention this weekend. And I will let everybody know what goes on there, and hopefully it'll be a good convention. And, John, we are listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio American Statesman every Tuesday night from 8 to 10, and on RedStateTalkRadio.com every Wednesday at 12 afternoon, and every Sunday in the evening. You're listening to Karen Schoen, your host, and John Estabrooks, who has returned, thank goodness, from Africa and from Asia safely. That was our concern, that it was a safe trip, and we're glad to have you back.
Oh, I'm glad to be.
Yes, and unfortunately, folks, we have to say good night. So good night all, and God bless you, and God bless America. And visit VoteKarenSchoen.com and your other local candidates. Pay attention to your local candidates. $10 to a local candidate means more than $1,000 to the party. Please give
Absolutely.
Your local candidates.
And please stop the party contributions. I mean, that's you know, Sally had that in her rant, and that's a big key, folks. Don't waste your money supporting the GOP, especially if you're giving it to any of their senatorial committees, any of their PACs. Please, please find a candidate locally that represents your views, your opinions, represents America, and support that candidate with your dollars. Pick the candidate, support the candidate, not the party and not the committees. We've got to get out of that mindset. Those folks, you know, I was a long-time contributor to the GOP and attended many of their functions and supported a lot of their efforts. And I still get the calls, and I relished when they call me so that I can tell them exactly how disgruntled I am and the fact that they will never get one dime of my money, that I will pick the candidates that best represent me, and that's our mission, folks. We have to do that. And for all, if you're not a registered voter, God, please get out, register to vote, find a candidate that represents your conservative views, and support that candidate with your work and your effort and your action at the voting booth. We have to turn out for these elections. We can't accept any more. Karen, it's been great. I am so glad to be back with you, and God bless your efforts, girl.
Thank you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening, everyone, and God bless everyone. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Good night.
God bless America. Bye-bye.
Yes.